Parshas.
Boy.
Bo. Thank you. I'll talk about just two small points. I'm going to tie them together at the very, very end. Two seemingly very different psukim and challenges of psukim, and try to analyze if I can a little bit about maybe a theme, especially built off yesterday's trip we took to Eish Torah, try to tie in as well. Finally, we have three makos left. After seven makos, Paro has given us the green light to go. And he says them the following. He says, "Miva mi ochim, who do you want to go? Who you can have go with us?" And we say, "Everybody." I'll read to you inside. Miva mi ochim says the pasuk. Says the pasuk.
In the beginning of the
parsha. Very beginning. Ben arenu b'zakenin lech, our young and our old. Benenu b'noseinu, boys and girls. So neinu b'karenu, our animals. Where everyone's going, chag Hashem lanu. And all of a sudden, Paro's like, "That's it. No way, not going to happen, my watch. You can't leave anymore." He says, "No way." He says, "You can estat lokein l'chun agvarim. The men can go. But the women, the children, the elders, not an option." And then in the end, they basically lost, the deal fell apart. They've been working this deal for a long time, and Paro really could use the deal for his people. And over a detail like that? No, I'm sorry. Not everyone's invited to go. Just let the women and children go also. Let the animals go. Unless you say, "Yeah, the Havamina, he's going to leave." I said, "Havamina," but he let them go in the end. In the end, when he's going to come back, they were shocked. Right? In the end, he let them leave. In the end, everyone went. Not now, but in the end, after Michael the Chorus, everyone went. Where did everyone go in the end? They didn't come back. They chased after him. Even later on, didn't think they were really going to leave. Maybe in the back of their mind, but they were so surprised. They ran. They had the whole army to get him. They waited 3 days. You know why? So they didn't come back in 3 days. They thought they were coming back. What happened over here? What was the detail? Why are we getting so caught up in Miva Mil Ochim that finally they let him go? You're going to get upset because they want to take the whole family with him? That's hard to understand. We'll leave the question for now. We'll get back to the question towards the end. I saw today, this morning, or last night really, in a sefer called the Hagid. It's a number of different Magidim throughout Yerushalayim. This one was quoted in the name of Rav Shalom Shadron. Rav Shadron says that we say that Hashem, actually someone quoted it, it wasn't yesterday. Hashem was Yichbadtias Lev Paro. What does it mean to have a heavy heart? Made his heart heavy. What does it mean to make someone's heart heavy?
Stubborn.
Okay, but the word heavy heart, usually someone's depressed maybe. It's not like, what does a heavy heart mean? So he had the following idea. He told over a story that one time he landed in a port in Yafo. He took a boat. Yafo was a port. Yafo landed in a port. Yafo was so much one landed there. And he got off the port, and it was a very Arab area where he was. And he walked by. It was like those Arabs in like some eatery, and they're all smoking weed. And it's hashish, he says. Is that the same thing as marijuana?
Yeah.
Okay, so they're smoking weed, and it's in the safer. And drinking. And it's like a very rowdy group of people. All of a sudden, one guy gets up, and he goes, "I am your king!" And everyone's like, "All hail the king," and he started to bow down to him. And he's like, "What?" And he watched again. They went back to drinking. And again, the same guy got there a minute later. "I am your king!" And they all bowed down. "Oh, long live the king." And he's like, "What?" And then that's the story he told. Went back to the place. So what was that? Was he the king? Like, I didn't know there was a king of the nation. There wasn't no king that we know of. What happened? So he says, what kvad lev means is that you like have this imagination. It's fantasy. You live in a fantasy world. Kvad lev means that when something's happening, as it's happening to you, like you get it. You get it. You really understand that, and you're really ready for it. And you're makabel. But when you have a kvad lev, it means that you also have like you live in a dream world. You have fantasies. And you think, "Oh, you know, I'm the king." And everyone else thinks, "Oh yeah, you're the king. It's a fantasy world you live in." He told over an entire story. He told over that when he was in London, someone said, "You have to see this unbelievable museum. There's a famous museum, a wax museum in London. And everything looks so real. It looks so exact." And so many people even talk to the person. You can talk to the person. There's actually a guard there right in front. It's not really a guard. It's a wax. Guards in England are very stationary and very straight. So they thought I was a guard. They started talking to him. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Madame Tussauds
Museum, exactly. So it looks so real. And you could even, if you went there, you could have a conversation with somebody, and even it could be even real. Actually, I heard my nephew, once he got married, told me there's an app they made now of people who are dead, but they took all their like communication they had to learn their style of talking, and they you can speak to someone now who's not alive anymore. through emails and through WhatsApps. They respond how they would respond because we can see their whole chain of how they speak, and they just plug in. It's like a computer system, a program, and you respond. They know how to respond to you. How, if they were still alive, how they respond to you? You can speak to someone who's dead as if they're still alive. Like, imagine you save someone's like responses to your phone calls, and you talk to them and say, "How's things going? Things are great over here. How about you?" Oh, they talk to me. Now they're really dead. But that's what they would say. It's called you live in a fantasy world. Live in a fantasy world. So some people, Kvad Lev, according to this Rosh Hashanah, is that you live in a fantasy world. You're able to remove yourself from reality. I'll give you some muscle if I can. Imagine that you had a farm, and you built a scarecrow. You built a scarecrow to scare off the birds. And you walk in one time, you're like, "Ah, what is that thing?" You're like, "Oh, that's my scarecrow I built." But imagine if you never realized that. And you keep on interrupting, like, "Oh, there he is again, let me run away from him." You built the scarecrow. So if you take a second to think for a little bit, you'd know that that's not real, because you made it to scare things away, and here you are getting scared by your own scarecrow. Because that means you have kvad lev. That means you have a fantasy. You live in a fantasy world. There was a movie I heard about a long time ago. I asked Eitan, I reread this morning, because he's a movie aficionado. And he was very upset when I heard that people around us didn't see the movie called Inception. I never saw it. But what it is about people living in dreams. You have a dream world, and you live in dreams, and you can actually do things in dreams. And then you never know, are you in the dream or not? Sometimes you get stuck, you're not sure if you're in the dream. I don't know what this means even, but that's what the movie's about.
So deep.
It is deep, I guess. No, I don't need to know. That doesn't matter right now. But the point is that you're stuck in the dream world. Kvad lev means that your heart is heavy because you're living in fantasy. You're living in a dream world. We happened to yesterday. We had the opportunity to go to a Eitan Torah, and while we were there, so people's eyes, I imagine, were open. Certainly, my eyes go every year, but every year I'm like, "Wow!" Like, I already believed a long time ago, but I'm like, "How could anybody? I believe." Like, again, you whether it be you like math, statistics, you like science, so you have Gerald Schroeder. You like just logic, so you have everyone else. You know, there's so many things going on. Every angle you want. You walk away like, "Whoa. How does someone walk away from that and not go to Minyan the next morning?" "I'm so tired, Rabbi. No, it's so cold outside. One second." But you just, Torah's real. There's a God in the world. Yeah, I'm a believer. But not when it's that cold. Like, it's called kvad lev. How can you not translate things that you see in your life as truth to the next stage? The reason why is because Paro also couldn't do it. Paro was so convinced after every makkah, "Let's just let them go already." But he had a kvad lev. He had a hard heart. And whenever people left, like, "You know what, man, I'm not ready for this right now. I don't think I want that." What, a minute ago you were ready for it. Nah, he lives in a fantasy world. And we also live in fantasy worlds. Our fantasy we live in is we assume, "Oh yeah, maybe God wrote the Torah, maybe God's real, but he doesn't care what I do. He doesn't really care. What does it matter what I do? There's a rabbi, I believe in God, I'll raise my kids Jewish, they'll go to Jewish schools, I'll keep kosher and Shabbos, I'm a good guy, but what I do, it doesn't matter so much. I'm not going to work to the bone while I'm here. I'm going to work and I'm going to chill, or I'm going to chill and I'll work on the side. I'll work in my spare time. I do a little learning also, and I'm growing, and you certainly are growing." But that attitude is someone who's a kvad lev. You're living in an imaginary world. To think that you're here for anything other than the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm not sure what I mean. I don't mean you can't have a job. You can't have fun. I don't mean that. But those things are icing on your cake. That's not your cake. If you think that's your cake, that means you're living in a fantasy world. That's what Paro was, living in a fantasy world. In Madame Tussauds Museum, you can go there and have a whole talk to every king you want. They won't answer you back. Or if they will, because then you're crazy. Or you can be in a movie. There are people who have all these articles of people whose favorite television, in a series, their favorite actor in that series, their personality part, died, and they mourn them. They mourn the death of that person leaving the show. That person's still living, just not on the show anymore. And the show, anyways, is pretend. It was just a pretend show. What are you so excited about? Because that was my life. It's part of my life, that show. That was my Sunday nights. I lost my favorite character. It was a movie years ago. Maybe it was before your time even. I'm sure you heard of it. I forgot what it's called now, but it was like an animated film with like these blue people. Avatar. Thank you. When that movie was over, there were people. You should know there was a rash of people who became extremely depressed. People almost committed suicide after the film was over. Why? You can look online. Avatar suicide.
People that saw it
that wanted to kill themselves after they saw it. Why? Because that's a dream world. I wish I was in that world. Look at this terrible place I live in instead. I want to be there instead. I want to be in that world. I can't live in my world anymore. They're called crazy people because they view fantasy like it's reality. And that is a terrible crime. A terrible mistake. You know what our mistake was in Mitzrayim? We said to Paro, "Mi v'mi, Paro, mi v'mi hochim." You know why, "Mi v'mi"? For the following reason. "Mi v'mi" means, the pasuk from Tehillim, we say, "Mi ale b'har Hashem, mi akum b'mkon kadsho." Who can walk up the mountain of Hashem and can be strong in that mountain? Only a few type of people. Niki chapayim, uvar levav, someone who's clean, who's pure, who's a tzaddik. They can go. "Mi v'mi hochim." Who do you want to send with you? Paro figured, you get the right to choose your gedolim. They can serve Hashem. They've earned that right. Let them go up and serve Hashem. And the response we gave back was, no, you got it wrong, Paro. In our reality, every single person matters. V'neinu, v'noseinu, z'keinenu, narenu, every person matters. Everyone's going. Because as a Jew, in the real world, as every person who's alive matters. Your significance is important. And therefore, that's the reality. When you look at yourself, who am I anyways? I have no extra tosos. Who cares? I get the shot. Doesn't matter. There's someone out there who's really looking, that guy, he's going to be a Talmud Chacham. Let him take it. I'm a lazier guy. It's not working for me. So that's because you're kvad lev. You're kvad lev in that case. And that's the problem. The first mitzvah we got, and I'm at this point, as a Jewish people, is the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh. You know why we attach ourselves to the moon, not the sun? Because the moon is small. It changes. It moves. It's small. It's big. Whatever size it is, we relate to it. The sun is constant. It's this one big ball of fire. It's constant. In reality, we're not constant. We're different. Sometimes a little sliver is the best. We do Birchas HaChodesh on a sliver. You know why? That sliver is going up. You can say Birchas HaChodesh until halfway through the month. Because as long as you're developing, you're moving up, that's admirable. Doesn't matter how thin you are. Me, even me, everyone's invited. Every Jew's invited. L'chog L'Hashem. Everyone's allowed to celebrate HaKadosh Baruch Hu in His beauty and His majesty. You're a tiny sliver. Who cares what you are? You're invited. You're important. You matter. Only the secular world views the King of Bar Levav have the right to go. I'll tell you one last story and I'll end with this. I heard my brother-in-law tell a story over at Shabbat Brachos a few days ago. It's a wild story. It's connected to this as well. It was this Rav. I wish I knew his first name. I mean, Rabbi Yamin Atzadik, they called him. He was a Talmud of one of the more recent Achronim with a few hundred years ago, 200 years ago maybe. And he married his woman who was like the devil. Whenever they went anywhere, she would just like rip all over him. She'd spit in his face. She was like a terrible wife. And like people would look at him like they felt so bad, like they always felt so bad for him. When everyone home, he went at the monster, waiting for him at home, like, never come that guy. This guy passes away, and his wife comes to the funeral. You can imagine, like, everyone's like looking at the guy, the woman, like, you probably killed him, you probably, you know, gave him a heart attack. And she starts to cry. She says to the body in front of her, she says, "The day we were married, you begged me to insult you in public. You begged me to spit in your face to give you humility. You wanted me to treat you like garbage, and I did it. I did it against my better judgment. I did it for you. I hope that right now in Shemayim you get nachas ruach from all the terrible life I gave you." She's crying. That's what she said in the end. Now, when you and I look from the outside, we see a terrible woman, a demon, a witch. She's terrible. Because we don't see the picture sometimes. But imagine, though, that you were in the conversation. You heard the first conversation they ever had. You heard it. And you heard him beg her the first time, "Just be terrible to me." She's the biggest tzaddikus. You think she wants to be known as a witch? You think she wants to give her husband a hard time? It's terrible. But we weren't given the information to know that in advance. So we see her as a witch, and that's appropriate. But sometimes in life, you get information and you know it to be true. You see Hakadosh Baruch Hu in the world, you see God, you see wisdom, and then you know it's true. But we get stuck, because later on in life, we don't always hear her saying that to her husband, we don't always hear him asking her to make her, it makes life miserable. We forget about it. And we go back to our dream worlds, in our kvad lev. It's up to us, I'll give you a bracha, it's up to us to figure out, we matter. Who should go to serve Hashem? Every single person in the nation. Who should work hard in the morning Seder? Every single person in the nation. You can learn Tosfos, you can barely read a Rashi, you can't even read a word of Gemara. So what? Everyone's invited. L'chog l'Hashem. Who's the one who should daven and make sure they're there on time for minyan in the morning? Every single person. What's my davening mean to me? It means everything to Kadosh Baruch Hu. He gave you a world. Only the Egyptian culture believes that's not for everybody. Only the Dvarim can go. No one else is invited to go. That is the idea of non-Jews. It's not a Jewish idea at all. You should be zocha. The more to realize, whether you're a small moon or a big moon, that you're on the way up. You should realize that right now you may have a certain clarity in life. This is reality. Everything else is not reality. I don't mean this meaning yeshiva. I mean the clarity you have of God in the world is reality. When you go back to America or wherever else you go back to, and you see something differently, this is reality. Your job is nice icing on the cake. This is your cake. You should merit to have your cake and eat it too. Have a good Shabbos.